I'm going to ask you please to turn to the 23rd Psalm, if you would. Psalm 23. God's Word says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's go to our God together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the amazing grace that is Yours, that has made us Your children. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for our Savior, who is our shepherd. We thank You that He is indeed the good shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep. And by His blood we have been washed and we are forgiven. By His death we've been reconciled to You. By His resurrection we know that we are justified. And we rest in the relationship that we have with You through Him. Lord, tonight as we turn our attention to Your Word, I ask that You would feed Your sheep with Your Word. Nourish our souls, encourage our hearts, instruct our minds, strengthen our wills. Produce in us the character of Christ. And I pray for anyone here tonight who is a stranger to Your saving grace, to the salvation that is known only in Christ. I ask, Lord, for mercy that they might see their true condition before You and be brought into a genuine faith in Your precious Son. And we ask for this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old saying that I know you're familiar with. It says, familiarity breeds what? Contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. That is, the more familiar we are with something, oftentimes the more likely it is that we will miss the beauty and the wonder and the blessing of that with which we are so familiar. Someone has said, familiarity only breeds contempt in contemptible people. That might be true, but the problem is we are all, by nature, contemptible people. And I think one of the real evidences of our ongoing sinfulness, even after we have been converted, the fact that the flesh still abides within us, is that that saying so often proves to be true. We can be married for a number of years, and before long we can forget what a blessing we have in the person we are married to. We have our children for a number of years, and we forget what a blessing it is to have those children, or we forget what a blessing our parents are to us, or we forget what a blessing our job is until it's not there anymore. So many areas where we learn, sadly, that we are like that. And because we've become familiar with something and comfortable with something, we have missed the beauty and the blessing and the wonder of it. And perhaps the saddest example of this of all is that we do this with God. We are familiar with His blessings, and so we begin to take them for granted. We are familiar with portions of His Word. And unfortunately, we can begin to read those portions with such a familiarity that we miss the beauty of those portions of His Word. Psalm 23, I think, is an example of this. Perhaps the most well-known passage in all the Old Testament. It's often read, it's often quoted, it's quoted even by unbelievers in certain situations and settings. And if we're not careful, what ends up happening to us is we just sort of read over it. We sort of speed through it. We begin to plug into our you know, little categories of our mind, we begin to plug in the things we already know about it, the things we've already heard about it. And we miss the fact that there are fresh treasures to be gathered every time we come to these verses. And so tonight I encourage us not to fall prey to that error. I encourage us to come to this psalm afresh and anew. And even now, before we begin to look at it, just to ask the Lord in a refreshing way, in a new way, speak to our hearts through what He has recorded here about Himself and His relationship to us. We'll return to this next Wednesday and go further into it. Tonight, I just want us to meditate together upon the opening statement. The psalm is ascribed to David, and David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. The first thing I want to point out about that is an astounding statement, isn't it? To say that God is your shepherd is in fact an astounding statement. It's an astounding thought. That the self-existent God, who made everything, who sustains everything, who owns everything, who needs nothing, would concern Himself with creatures like us. To the extent, with such intimacy and care, that it could be said of God that He is any human being's shepherd, is an astounding thought. There are many images used in the Old Testament to talk about God's relationship to His people. He is a king, He is a ruler, He is a deliverer. If you think in more impersonal terms, He is a rock, He is a shield, He is a fortress. But David, who knew what it was to be a shepherd, chooses this most intimate term when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The shepherd lives with his flock. The shepherd knows his flock. The shepherd is everything to his flock. He is their guide. He is the one who leads them to food and drink. He is, in that sense, their provider. He is their protector. He is their physician. He is their everything. And David says, "He, the Lord God, is my shepherd." It would, in fact, be an arrogant thought to claim that God is your shepherd unless, if God had not Himself revealed this sort of intimate relationship with His people, but He has. It was David who acknowledged the wonder of God's concern with mankind in general when he says on multiple occasions, "What is man? What is man, God, that You would think of us? What is man that You would concern Yourself with us?" David wrote the 8th Psalm, and it says this, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants You have established strength because of Your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that You care for him." Psalm 144, a psalm of David, says this, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and He in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that You regard him, or the son of man that You think of him?" Now, if this could be said of mankind as a whole, right? That it's astounding that God should concern Himself with mankind as a whole. Isn't it more astounding to say that God concerns Himself with me? That He is my shepherd? And yet this is what David recognizes also, that God takes an individual interest in him. Psalm 139, a psalm of David. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. You see, it's not just the wonder that Almighty God would concern Himself with mankind. It is the astounding truth that Almighty God would be an individual human being's shepherd. This is an astounding statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Second, not only is it an astounding statement, it's a searching statement. One of the reasons why this psalm gets quoted even by unbelievers is because its words are so comforting. But I think the reason why it might be comforting to unbelievers is because the very first line is rushed past. David doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. And certainly what David writes here is true in the case of every genuine believer. But this statement cannot be made by just anyone. The Lord is not everyone's shepherd in the sense that He's David's shepherd in this psalm. And so right away when David is giving us this personal testimony, as it were, the Lord is my shepherd, the question must be asked, can you truthfully say what David writes here? Can you truthfully say that the Lord is your shepherd? Do you have that saving relationship to Almighty God? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you looked to God for the provision that He has made and ordained for the forgiveness of your sins and a right standing before Him? David knew the joy of forgiveness. David knew the joy of redemption. This is a redeemed man, and thus he is able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. But not until you know the Lord as your Redeemer can you know Him as your shepherd. The New Testament makes plain that the Lord is not your shepherd if Jesus is not your Savior. The wonder of wonders is that the shepherd, God Himself, stepped out of heaven and came to this earth. The good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd, the everlasting shepherd, the shepherd of forgiven ones, came from heaven to earth, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, laid down His life for the sheep, was raised from the dead to bring men to God, to seek and save the lost, that His sheep would hear His voice and follow Him, that there would be one flock with one shepherd. This is why Jesus came into the world, to save His sheep. And so you're not one of His sheep, and the Lord is not your shepherd if Jesus is not your Savior. Jesus referred to Himself as the Good Shepherd in John 10. It was read earlier. John 10 verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. Jesus says this, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Same chapter, 14th verse, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Speaking there of Gentile believers who would be gathered in. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The writer of Hebrews refers to Him as the Great Shepherd. Chapter 13, verse 20 says, Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the Great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may He equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. You see, what God has done is not just done by the Great Shepherd. It is being done through the Great Shepherd, through Jesus Christ, to whom, Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is what we do as the church. We love and worship and adore and glorify our Great Shepherd. This is what elders are reminded of in the New Testament. That though we have this high, lofty privilege to serve the church as under-shepherds, though we have this weighty, sobering responsibility to watch for souls as under-shepherds, we all wait for the chief shepherd, who is the good shepherd, who is the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus. You know, in a sense, this is what David is doing in Psalm 23, because it was not uncommon for kings to be pictured in terms of a shepherd when it came to ruling their subjects. David is a king, and yet this king acknowledges the power behind the throne. This king, to whom others might have looked to like a shepherd, he says, The Lord is my shepherd. 1 Peter 5:1, So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That's the goal of every good under-shepherd, to shepherd the flock in a way that's completely in keeping with the character of the chief shepherd, so that one day when the chief shepherd appears, we will hear, well done. Jesus is the everlasting shepherd. I want you to look real quickly to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isn't it good to know he's not just our shepherd now? He is our shepherd forever. Jesus is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the everlasting shepherd. We can sum it all up by saying this: he is not your shepherd unless he has forgiven your sins. Unless you have looked to him and his sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, he is not your shepherd. Jesus is the forgiven one's shepherd. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. How did that happen? How did you return to the shepherd and overseer of your soul? Through the suffering of God's only Son. Through his wounds. By his wounds, you have been healed, forgiven, redeemed, saved. Look back at Psalm 23, if you would, please. This is an astounding statement. The Lord is my shepherd. At the same time, it's a searching statement. Can you really say that? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know him in salvation? Is Jesus your Savior? For if Christ is not your Savior, the Lord is not your shepherd. But third, this is also a comforting statement. Who is your shepherd? Yahweh. Who is your shepherd, David? The Lord is my shepherd. Almighty God is my shepherd. Does our thinking reflect that truth the way that it should? Do our emotions reflect a true understanding of that truth, that the Lord God is our shepherd? Do your fears, anxieties, worries, doubts, troubles admit the truth? Do you struggle with comprehending the fact that it's no mere man who is your shepherd? The living God is your shepherd. Let it sink in that the one who is always present is your shepherd. Where can you flee from his presence? David asked that question, didn't he? Where can I go? If you go to heaven, he's there. If you go to Sheol, he's there. If you take the wings of the morning and go out to the uttermost regions of the sea, he's there. So near to you that when you awake, he's there. His hand is upon you. His thoughts toward you are so vast, the sum of them, that it outnumbers the sands on the seashore. This is your shepherd, the ever-present one. The all-powerful one is your shepherd, the one who possesses all power, all authority. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? He is your shepherd. The one who is perfectly wise. You say to yourself, how will this work out? Where is the situation headed? Where will my deliverance come from? Who will be my helper? When will the circumstances change? Take comfort, child of God. Your situation is in the hand of God, and he is all wise. When he's ready to act, he will. And he will always act rightly, perfectly, right on time. The one who is perfect love, who perfectly loves you, that's your shepherd. The one who is a warrior, who is never defeated. You say, you know, Pastor, we have a great enemy in this world. He's roaming about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, that's right. And we're told to be sober and alert. But make no mistake about it, we're in the hand of God, and no one is able to snatch us out. The evil one cannot touch us in the sense of destroying us if we really have the Lord as our shepherd. He's a warrior, never defeated. He is the one who conquered Satan and the grave. This is your shepherd. He is the one full of compassion. Does he really know what you're going through? Does he really know how you feel? Does he care about how you feel? We saw that in Luke chapter 7 just Sunday. We serve the God who really cares. This is your shepherd. The one who is a faithful father to us, who disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives. The one who disciplines us in such a way, it's not always pleasant in the present, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He's forming the character of his son in us, and he's doing it perfectly. This is your shepherd. The one who created everything, sustains everything, owns everything, controls everything. This is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Why are we afraid? Why are we troubled? David wrote Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." How can you say this, David? Because the Lord is my shepherd. So it's an astounding statement, it's a searching statement, it's a comforting statement. But fourth, it is a submissive statement on the part of David. As I said a moment ago, shepherd analogies were not uncommon in the ancient world. And the shepherd was pictured to be the ruler, the king. And here is David saying, he has a shepherd. Which is to say, he needs a shepherd. He needs a shepherd. I ask you tonight, dear friend, do you need a shepherd? Do you recognize your need for God so that you live your life humbly before Him, acknowledging your dependence upon Him, willfully, joyfully, submitted to Him? Where you say, "Not my will be done, but yours," where you are all wise, perfectly loving, you know what's best. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm just a sheep. I need guidance. I need protection. I need provision. I need healing. I need a shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd. I love David's attitude expressed in the book of 2 Samuel. Turn over there for just a moment, please. 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's a lengthy portion, but it's worth it. Look at verse 8. This is God's instruction to Nathan, the prophet. "Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Oh, this looks beyond anything fulfilled in Solomon. This looks to the Lord Jesus. I will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. Again, you have the mixture of images here. Solomon and the future Messiah, because what is said next, notice, when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you've spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. David hears this and magnifies the Lord for what the Lord has determined to do. But with respect to himself, his attitude is, who am I? What is my house that you would bring me this far? And that you would promise these great things to me. You see, when you say the Lord is my shepherd, it should be, it must be, with a heart of humility and submission. The humble attitude is the accurate attitude. Only a fool is wise in his own eyes. The humble attitude is a wise attitude, therefore. It's a gracious attitude. Only the Lord can teach you humility. Men by nature are sinfully proud. It's a blessed attitude. God blesses the humble. Proverbs 3:33 says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Psalm 138 verse 6 says, for though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Verse Peter 5:5, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And here is a powerful king whose attitude was, Who am I? The Lord is my shepherd. I ask you tonight, is He your shepherd? Are you astounded by the fact that He is? Is it true that He is? Do you take comfort in the knowledge that your shepherd is God? Or do you live your life in the fear that says you haven't understood that? And are you submitted to Him? Ready to do whatever He wants? Knowing that He performs graciously on behalf of His people, everything else that follows. Listen, everything else in Psalm 23 flows out of that statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, you see, I shall not want. Therefore, He makes me lie down in green pastures. And all the rest, it all flows out of this thought. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord, what can we say except thank You? What can we do except extol Your greatness and recognize Your mercy? Not only is it true to say, what is man that You're mindful of him? We all say with David tonight, Lord, who am I? Or what is my house that You would have brought me thus far? Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You for Your gracious and kind actions toward us. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for our Savior, Shepherd, King. And teach us not to wander, but to remain in a place where we are just humbly submitted to You, acknowledging Your goodness and the perfection of Your wisdom by simply staying focused on what You've put before us in Your Word. I pray for anyone who can't say tonight that the Lord is their shepherd. Lord, work in their hearts. Grant them repentance and faith so that before the evening is over, they could truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.